Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 20, and I'll read down through verse 26. Before I read this, this is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, this is the beginning of Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. However, Luke calls it the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus wasn't standing on a mountain when he gave these words. He was standing on a plain with everybody else, and he was sharing these words with them. So listen to these words. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Maybe you know part of the Sermon on the Mount with the blessings. And in Matthew's version, it's all blessings. There's no woes. It's all blessings. And Matthew even changes it in a different way than Luke does. And Matthew says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. But I want you to notice that Luke does not do that here. Luke talks about the poor, the hungry. He talks about the rich and those who are well fed. And the biggest thing that I want you to recognize that sometimes we don't is that Jesus' words for his disciples should pause us and encourage us to reflect. When we hear these words, it should just make us pause. And we should stop for a moment and we should go, wait a minute. What is Jesus saying? What is he about here? What is he trying to communicate and get across to us? Because in this passage, we have blessings and we have woes or curses, if you want to define it another way. Blessings and curses. And it's all about us taking the time to reflect for a moment. I think we don't reflect and ponder enough. The world has us so busy with so many different activities. And we're rushing from one place to another to do something else. And sometimes I think we just need to sit down and be still for a moment. I liked what I heard Henry Blackaby say a couple of decades ago now. He said that, you know, we've got this statement that says, don't just stand there, do something. You probably heard that a few times at work. Henry Blackaby said, God's calling out to us and saying, don't do something, just stand there for a moment so I can love you. And sometimes we're not taking the time to see what's here and to pay attention. Jesus says often in his ministry, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I know a lot of people that have ears, but don't hear. I know a lot of people that can't tell you the words that they hear later, no matter where they are. Because so many things are going on for them and so many things are happening, they're not taking the time to slow down for a moment and hear. I honestly think, and I spent many years learning how to multitask and how to do multiple things at the same time and get them done with the least amount of effort so that they were all finished. And I truly believe that's the work of the devil. Because we get to the point that we multitask so much that we're not really paying attention to any one thing. I would encourage you sometimes to look at a stoplight. And look at people in their cars. Most stoplights don't last any longer than 90 seconds. And you can look over and you can see people picking up their phone to look at it. They can't just be in one place for 90 seconds without doing anything. Sometimes we need to take the words of Jesus, we need to pause, and we need to reflect. You see, these blessing and curses here speak about social and physical stations of life. They don't speak about the spiritual here in Luke's gospel. They speak about the social and the physical situations in life. You can run down through them and see them. Those who are poor are blessed. Those who are hungry now are blessed. Those who weep are blessed now. And blessed are the people when somebody charges against you and hates you. And Jesus goes on to say an incredible statement that I see very few people, myself included, do. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy when people bless you out. Do we do that? Oftentimes what we do is we return the blessing back to them, don't we? And I'm using a different definition of blessing now. We don't rejoice in the fact that somebody has said bad words to us or said bad things about us. And then when you turn it over on the curses, the woes, woe are those who are rich. Woe are those who are well fed now. Woe are those who laugh now. Woe when somebody speaks well of you. You see, these blessings and curses speak about the social and the physical aspects of life. They are the opposite of the normal view of blessing and curses in our culture. The way Jesus states them, they are the opposite. Because don't we believe that when people have plenty of riches, God must be what? Blessing them. But Jesus says here, blessed are you who are rich. No, Jesus says, woe to those who are rich, not blessed. He says, woe to them. Curses to you if you have riches. Curses to you if you're well fed. One of the reasons that I continue to help out with Hope Packs as much as I do, and Deanne and I give to the cafe, and we go there and try to eat often there, I can't sit at my table at home and gain weight when I know there's people in my community who don't have food. That shames me. There are people in our community that don't have food. And that situation is going to get worse. And what does it say here? It says, blessed are you who hunger now. Curses to you who are well fed now. It really makes me think. It brings me great joy to know that almost every week, there's about 900 packs that go to kids that provide them with food for about a day and a half every weekend. At least I know they got something. You see, we often look past these statements. because we don't want to think it includes us. We listen to these statements and we hear what Jesus says, but we look past them. That doesn't include me. I'm not rich. Yes, we are. Every one of us is rich. Every one of us in this room is rich. Everybody who's watching this on Facebook right now is rich. Now, I know some of you might come to me and say, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. In comparison to the rest of the world, we are beyond rich. And Jesus says what? Woe to you who are rich because you've already received your comfort. If God has blessed you with finances, with possessions, that's to bless somebody else with. That's to pass on. Deanne recently read a book, and I don't remember the name of it now. What's the name of it? The Serviceberry book. That book is all about, instead of a consumer economy, it's about a gifting economy. And the people that have too much, for example, food, store their too much food in somebody else's stomach. They pass it on to somebody else. They bless somebody else with it if they've got too much food. It's a completely different type of society. Instead of being a consumer society, how much can we consume? How much can we hold back? How much can we gather up and stack up? It's about how much I can bless somebody else with what God's blessed me with. And I think that's what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus calls us to take the riches that we have and bless somebody else. Jesus calls us to take the food that we have and bless somebody else. One of the things that I witness every Monday morning, about the time that we're finishing up setting out things on the table for Hope Packs for that week, at least two people come in with food that is given to Open Door Cafe from Starbucks. Starbucks in Fort Chiswell, Starbucks in town here, and Starbucks in Marion. And up front, there's 2 6-foot tables. And the food that's given to Open Door Cafe from Starbucks, because it's getting ready to go out of date, fills those 2 6-foot tables. If they were not giving it to Open Door Cafe, traditionally, they would just throw it in the dumpster. And Mike Pugh made me think about, if this is just from 3 stores, what is it when you add all the stores together across the United States? Lexi, who takes it and weighs it all, they've got to keep track of how much weight is given to them. Lexi said that last month, 700 pounds of food from 3 Starbucks stores was given to Open Door Cafe. 700 pounds. Folks, are we going to take Jesus' words for truth here? Or are we going to look past them and go, that doesn't include me? And the other thing that sometimes we do with it is then sometimes we put others into these categories and say, God will eventually bring about justice. We think about people that have riches beyond belief. I'm kind of like, I'll just say it. I don't know what I would do with $1 million. I think I would be so irresponsible with it. But yet we have people out there that have $1 billion. And those people that have $1 billion could give $1 million to every person in the United States and still have money left over. Is that responsible? Is that responsible? It really makes me think. And see, what we do sometimes is we say, those people, and I'm not going to name any of them, you can supply your own names for the billionaires. We say those people will see God's justice one day because they had so much and they didn't do with it. No. Jesus says these things for us to think about. Not for us to tag somebody else and say, you'll get yours. Jesus says these things for us to look at and for us to examine ourselves. It's not about putting people into these categories. Oh, I know somebody who's rich. I know somebody that's had so much food that I can tell. I know somebody that laughs all the time and never mourns and never weeps. I know somebody that everybody speaks well of, and they really shouldn't. Jesus is asking us to examine ourselves. He's not asking us to categorize other people and put them in little pigeonholes to say, hey, they're going to get their just dessert one day. Jesus is asking us to look at these things. So I want to ask you this. Which one of these statements does Jesus want you to consider for yourself? Which one of these statements does Jesus want you to consider for yourself? Either side of the equation. And I would encourage you to pick one and do something about it. Don't pick one to rail at somebody else. Pick one to do something about it yourself. How will you give back? How will you give forward? I know somebody told me one day that a young man that I met one time, spent some time with, he told me that he never goes to a fast food drive-thru without paying for the person behind him. He said, if I can afford to get it myself, I can afford to buy it for somebody else. I couldn't believe he told me that. Because he was not a person that had a lot of means. But he said, I never do that without buying for the person behind me. Jesus wants us to look at these statements for ourselves. Not pick out other people that need to hear them. It's not, he who has ears to hear, make sure the other person understands. It's he who has ears to hear, let them hear and do something about it. Which one of these statements is Jesus asking you to consider for yourself? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you with a scripture that should make us feel uncomfortable. So many times and so often we take these scriptures and we think about who really needs to hear them. And we don't often think about whether we need to hear them. So Lord, we pray that you would enliven our hearts, that we might understand what we need to hear in scripture. And how we might do something about the situation that's happening in our world where people don't have, people can't get, and where it's closing down even further for some folks. Lord, show us what we can do. Show us how we can help. And show us how we can be your people. Because, Lord, you gave your whole life for us. And sometimes we think we've done a great thing when we give 10% of ourselves. But the example you set for us was to give our whole selves. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow you. Help us to examine our hearts right now before we approach your table. to celebrate once again how you gave your whole life for us. Amen.